At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Moncrief on News Talk.
If you had the chance to meet a dead loved one, would you do it? Not literally, but in a virtual sense. Although still fabulously expensive, the service is being offered in some countries. While in South Korea, a documentary was just broadcast telling the story of a mother who gets to meet a virtual version of her dead daughter. Dr. Jennifer O'Mara is Associate Professor of Film Studies at Trinity. Afternoon, Jennifer.
Good afternoon, Sean. How are you?
Now, this documentary that was made in Korea and the people who gave a person to interact with a deceased loved one, how did they do it?
Yeah, so it's quite a complicated and time-consuming and expensive process. So this was part of a multi-episode documentary series, but effectively they found this family where a young child, a daughter, had died quite suddenly from cancer. And the idea of then creating this virtual avatar involved casting, you know, a child actor, actors based on photos and videos of the child, and then trying to kind of create this virtual version of her. So I think it was quite a complicated process in terms of trying to get this avatar to be as close as possible to how the daughter actually was, but also then working through kind of the family's issues and history in terms of trying to kind of create a story world then that would make sense, you know, for this particular family. So bringing in colors that the daughter liked and animals that she liked, and kind of trying to like almost bring back some of those memories through this kind of virtual environment that they created for the mother and the daughter to kind of explore.
And could the mother and virtual daughter, were they interacting in real time?
Yeah, so exactly. The mother had a headset on and also like haptic gloves. So this is what the documentary shows. And then her other children are watching as their mother goes through this experience. And they are interacting in this quite, I suppose, childlike world. It involves like playgrounds and birthday cakes and a kind of a party. So they're exploring this world together. But it's quite an animated world, you know, it wouldn't really be confused with reality. But it seems to have drawn on like the daughter's, you know, kind of likes and dislikes as she was alive.
And what they created there, was it manipulative? And I don't mean that necessarily in a pejorative sense, but the way, say, a film would be that you know, it's tugging at the heartstrings and you know, there's musical cues and that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you're getting really from this. And also the fact that we can't see the mother's, you know, facial expressions, for example, you know, because she has this very large virtual reality headset and glove on. And so you're watching her other children watch her in this world. And obviously this is a virtual version of their sister who they've lost. So it's quite emotive in that sense. You're seeing kind of this reaction. It's sort of similar, I suppose, to sort of the some of the reality TV tropes in terms of, you know, setting up these scenarios that will create kind of drama, natural drama. But yeah, it feels quite manipulative in terms of knowing this family has obviously been selected for this and they're kind of working through their trauma and their grief using this new medium.
Yeah, now, and it seems as if, apart from this Korean documentary, that there are other forms of this bubbling up around the world where it might be an option for people.
Yeah, certainly. And one high profile example a few years ago involved, I think, one of Kim Kardashian's family members, potentially it was Kanye West, arranging to have a hologram version of her, you know, dead father brought back to life for her for a birthday and kind of, you know, to speak to her in hologram form. And so, again, you have an example, I suppose, of someone, kind of a celebrity, someone who has, you know, access to these new technologies and the money to spend in developing a kind of virtual character. But we're also seeing that more and more with, for example, musical artists. There's quite a few. You might have come across the abattoir that where they have the kind of avatars or abattoirs, as they're often called, creating this concert experience in which you have a very large, you know, real audience of people fully engaging with what are, you know, just kind of virtual versions of ABBA from, you know, 30 years ago, and people kind of paying to see this, and there's a novelty factor, but also it kind of gets at, I suppose, how more and more media and concert experiences are really mediated. You know, you're watching them on big screens, you're watching them through your own smartphone as you record it often for people for online, and so you get opportunities for this to be kind of commercialized in one way or another as well.
Yeah. Now, obviously, ABBA aren't dead, just in case anyone listening thinks that's happened. But there's one in the US apparently called Hereafter AI, where they do something similar to that, where you're given the option of creating an avatar of someone you've lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think this is a really kind of fraught ethical area. And, you know, obviously it brings in a lot of kind of legal questions about, you know, who has the right to give permission for something like that? Like, to what degree, you know, just because it's a kind of a family member potentially, or a partner or a spouse, you know, can you then, I suppose, decide this on their behalf? Or is this something we're going to start seeing people like writing into their wills, for example? I think kind of looking into the future, thinking about like even policies around stuff like Facebook, if someone dies and what they do there, and how, you know, you can kind of live on in different forms through your digital personas, will be kind of an interesting dimension in the future.
And in the Korean documentary, now it was obviously particularly fraught because it was the death of a child. Did it seem to be the case that the mother in particular and the family in general got something from this interaction?
Yeah, there is this sense in which there was a lot of interviews done, you know, with the family and with the producers of this, and kind of concerns around this happening. And it seemed to have been used in a kind of a therapeutic way. And I think the mother, some of the stuff that comes up in this is because the death was quite sudden, where they talk about the mother's kind of feeling that, you know, that she would have liked the last few days to be different. And so they kind of, I suppose, give her this opportunity to kind of say something she might have liked to say. Or, you know, there is that sense in which I suppose it's almost like a kind of a therapeutic tool. And the mother's very clear in terms of saying, you know, it was not, you know, she knew it was not her daughter, but particularly in these sequences where the daughter was, you know, this virtual avatar of the daughter was quite far away, it was like she was kind of getting glimpses of the daughter. So almost like a dreamlike scenario, it seems like, maybe like, you know, the alternative to people coming back to you in your dreams is people coming back to you in a kind of virtual reality setting.
Though, as you know, deepfakes can be very, very convincing at this stage, and that technology will progress. So presumably it's not too far away where someone could order something like this and you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between that and the real person.
Yeah, and we're already seeing, you know, aspects of that online, and these technologies, the generative AI ones, are moving quite quickly. And, you know, while it started out with, particularly with sort of visuals and, you know, with videos being created like this, the speech technologies, the voice technologies are really developing quite fast as well. And it's the kind of the potential to combine the two of these then to have, you know, because a lot of the time now there'll be kind of slippage, or there'll be moments when something is a little bit off. These kind of subtleties that will allow you to kind of realize this doesn't seem quite right. Or, you know, it might be that the visuals are convincing, but the audio or the kind of the lip sync is not very accurate. But like, as these, I suppose, as these tools develop, we might get closer and closer to kind of a point at which you may not recognize what you're seeing is fake.
Yeah. You'd wonder, though, that, I mean, you know, perhaps in the case of that mother in Korea, that it gave her some sense of closure. But for other people, it might have the opposite effect, and that, you know, you still have this person you can go and see, and therefore you kind of haven't let go of them, though, a lot or completely.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, one of the aspects, I suppose, that can receive less attention is it's all about the kind of the exterior signs and the, you know, what they sound like, what they look like. And of course, it's not getting really their personality. You know, that's obviously, you know, the fact that all you were kind of getting is a a virtual recreation who is based on, you know, the outside of the person, and, you know, you're not getting, you know, their thought patterns or their mannerisms necessarily, that obviously that's much harder in many ways to kind of simulate or to recreate. You can imagine even with the kind of the chatbots and ChatGPT, how complicated it would get to really have, you know, one of these characters say things that sound familiar or like something that they would have said, even if it looks and sounds like them. The personality aspect, I suppose, is more complicated to really achieve.
Mm, yeah. Would you do it?
No, definitely not. I don't even like being, you know, recorded for, you know, photos or videos. So I certainly wouldn't like a VR avatar of myself. That's kind of terrifying. Yeah.
Well, we thank you for letting yourself being subjected to being recorded on the radio. Dr. Jennifer O'Mara is Associate Professor of Film Studies at TCD. Jennifer, thanks a million.
Thank you.
A few people texted in to say apparently there's a storyline in Coronation Street right now. The character of Leanne, whose son has died, is communicating with an online avatar of her son. It's being presented as an unhealthy activity by the show. Apparently, it's also a storyline in Black Mirror with Donald Gleeson, where he's killed and there's a service that allows his girlfriend to contact an AI version of him made from his social media contacts. Sounds a lot like this, isn't it? I wonder how long ago that Black Mirror show was made. It just shows the kind of gap between fictional stuff and real stuff is getting shorter and shorter. Da, da, da.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.